This morning we have with us Brother Dick Throne, and he's going to come and share with the ministry of Gideon's. And we've got reacquainted with Dick on a couple occasions. One was just informal. They were enjoying, he and his wife were enjoying a meal at Cracker Barrel. And, you know, that's always bad to mention that because we're all going to get hungry now for Cracker Barrel. But we enjoyed and got to see each other. We hadn't seen each other for a while, and so we looked forward to that reacquaintance. And then we had breakfast together with the Gideons, and that was just a wonderful time of sweet fellowship. And so we're thrilled to have Dick with us today. So God bless you as you come and as you share. Amen.
Over a half million deaths in the United States because of the COVID virus. That's a lot of deaths. But not only deaths, but hardship comes along with that. This last September, Deanna, living in Colorado, lost her job, as many people had. She lost her apartment. She lost everything she had. Only a few dollars left. And so she ended up going into a motel. And there she looked through the various drawers, and they were all empty, except for one drawer on the desk. It had a Bible placed there by the Gideons. She took it out and looked at it, and then just put it back in and closed the door. Late in the day, she decided that she would wander the streets. So she went into a convenience store, and she spotted a book that said, an apartment guide. She started thumbing through it, only because it was free, and she had nothing else to do. And she had that thought, you know, I wished I had that Bible back in the motel room. I could be able to read it and look at it. All of a sudden, a voice from behind her said, are you thinking of moving? A voice from an older woman had appeared and saw Deanna looking at the apartment guide. Oh no, she said, only because it's free. Well, the woman said, I have another book that's free, if you want it. It's a Bible. And Deanna said she almost said no, except something told her to take the Bible. So she said, yes, I would like that. So she took the Bible and she said, the strangest thing happened. Relief through her body came in a way that she never experienced before. Peace came over her. So she accepted God's word and began to read it. Deanna started to go to church and to pray to God that the Lord would live in her and through her. And she prayed for freedom from homelessness and addiction and temptation. And you know what? Jesus made her whole. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning again. My name is Dick Throne, as you've known, and from the Gideons International. And I just want to remind you about the Gideons. We are not a denomination. We are not a church. We are a Christian Business and Professional Men's Association, but we work very closely with the Christian Church. Without the church, there would be no Gideon ministry, because we are an extension of your church. The Gideons have over 200 camps, and the Gideons have camps in over 200 countries around the world. And by having Gideons and in those particular countries, we utilize the local speech, we utilize the local culture, their knowledge of that country. So very little training is really required. But all Gideons and auxiliary, regardless of what country they're from, have the one vision: to win boys and girls, men and women, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to distribute God's word through the traffic lanes of life. And because of your help, we have distributed over 2 billion copies of God's word. If you want to know what billion is, look it up. You'll be surprised how much a billion is. And we also print the Bible in 107 different languages. I want you to listen to this next video from Bud Patson.
Hi, I'm Bud Paxson, Chairman and CEO of Paxson Communications and Pax TV. I'd like to take a moment and share with you how the Gideons helped me in a time of need, just because you're there. This is how I went to meet Jesus Christ with my mother for 14 years. Then I grew very tall, and she couldn't reach my ear anymore, and I stopped going. Almost 40 years later, in 1985, I became the creator and co-founder of the home shopping TV phenomenon. The Home Shopping Network was the very first non-stop, 24-hour-a-day TV retailer. Our growth was unbelievable. A year later, I spent over 250 days away from home buying products for HSN to sell. Meanwhile, problems were brewing at home. I tried to call my wife every night, but I knew my absence was creating a wide gap in our relationship. I returned home on December the 21st, excited about the Christmas vacation the entire family had planned. We would all celebrate Christmas Day at home and then fly to Las Vegas. I'll never forget the pile of presents that Christmas morning. We opened them from about 9:30 in the morning till afternoon. And when we had finished opening the presents, my wife said, "Bud, let's have coffee out on the patio. I need to talk to you." It was a beautiful, warm, sunny Christmas day. When my wife spoke, her words were like a bolt of lightning out of the blue sky. "I'm leaving you for another man." Within the hour, she was packed and gone. That Christmas, I realized my life had become totally empty. As the truth sank in, I placed my face in my hands and cried. For hours, I wept. I was absolutely and completely emotionally bankrupt. I was a success by any definition, but it was worthless because I had lost my wife and wasn't close to my kids. When she walked out, I realized everything I had devoted my life to could not make me happy. My life became meaningless. My kids, who were grown up at the time, insisted we still go to Vegas. They wanted to spend time with me. They wanted to build a relationship with me. It was amazing to me because at that moment, all they could see was a pitiful, spiritually broken man, a father who was emotionally shattered. I reluctantly agreed to go, but all of the lights, the people, and the activities could do nothing to ease my pain. On New Year's Eve at Caesar's Palace, Buddy Hackett was performing, and the kids literally dragged me to the show. Everyone in the audience was laughing, everyone but me. I'll never forget at midnight, New Year's Eve, staring at Buddy Hackett with tears streaming down my cheeks. Shortly thereafter, I snuck away and went to my suite. And for me, it was probably the loneliest place in the world. I collapsed into a chair, and I sat on the sofa. I went to the edge of the bed. I moved around, and I kept thinking frightening and lonely thoughts for hours. Around 4 a.m., I glanced at my watch, looked around the room, and said to myself, "I bet there's a Gideon Bible in here somewhere." I found it, I picked it up, and did the same thing millions of other people have done before me. I turned to the front and found the pages that directed me to the verses that would show me how to find peace with God. It was then I discovered my sins had separated me from God. I discovered that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the debts of my sins. The Gideon Bible then directed me to the sinner's prayer. I learned all God wanted me to do was believe Jesus died for my sins, and God would forgive me and give me eternal life. The moment I said that prayer and put my faith in Jesus, an overwhelming peace came over me. I will never forget the emotion, the experience, the supernatural love I felt, the presence of God in that room, and His presence in me. My life as a Christian began because of what you, the Gideons, have done for so many across the world. I thank you, and I know I speak for countless millions. May the Lord continue to bless your vital work.
Bud's testimony reminds me of what the Bible says in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. In Bud's case, he was devoted to making money, and his family life was torn apart. Well, I do want you to know that the Gideons are working very diligently on your behalf. In 2019, 2020 was kind of a disaster. 2019, the Gideons were on the campus of USF, and we passed out 4,200 scriptures to the students. And then in 2019, the Gideons were at the Strawberry Festival, and they passed out 8,000 copies of God's Word. And we were there just last week at the Strawberry Festival. Just a few weeks ago, we were at the county fair in Dade City, and we gave out 1,005 different copies of God's Word. We distribute God's Word to the local hospital, to the police, to the EMT, workers in the jail ministry. Our auxiliary, which is the wives of the Gideons, distributes testaments and Bibles to doctors' offices and dentist offices, battered women's shelters, and various traffic lanes of life. In many of these situations, we have the opportunity to talk to people about the Lord. Since we cannot get into public schools, the Gideons have made the life book available to all churches, free of charge, 1,000 copies. The book is the Book of Mark, and it is specially designed for the youth. So they can take this, go to school, give it out to their chums, their friends, that the Word of God might get into the public schools. So if you have not done that, you can do that. The book, and it's the Book of Mark. I want you to listen to this second testimony. It's a very quick testimony from Christopher Young.
Do both. Be a graduate student by day and doing drugs and partying. Well, this whole time, my parents, they had been a Christian for several years now and just had really grown in their faith. My parents knew the only way they would be able to see me since I wanted nothing to do with them. They actually flew down to Atlanta one time, and after the second day, I kicked them out. But my dad, he wanted to give me something, and it was his very first Bible. And he left it on my kitchen counter. But as soon as they left, I took his Bible, and I threw it in the trash can. My mom prayed that God would do whatever it takes to bring this prodigal son to the Father. Well, this miracle, this answer to prayer came one day with a bang on my door. I opened up my door, and on my front doorstep were 12 federal drug enforcement agents, Atlanta police, and two big German Shepherd dogs. I just received a large shipment of drugs, and they confiscated all my money and my drugs, and I was charged with a street value equivalent of 9.1 tons of marijuana. I was walking around the cell block, and I passed by this garbage can, and as I looked at that garbage can, I felt like I was looking at my own life. And I was about to pass by that garbage can, but something on top of the trash caught my eye. I bent over, and I picked it up, and it was a Gideon's New Testament. I took that New Testament back to my cell, and for the very first time, I opened up that New Testament, and I read through the entire Gospel of Mark. And as I know today, what we have in our Bibles is not just ink on paper, but what we have in our Bibles is the very breath of God. And it's living and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. And as I began to read God's Word, it began to penetrate me, and it began to cut through my stubborn, hard heart. He revealed His plan for my life, and He called me full-time ministry while I was in prison. So the greatest miracle of this whole story is that actually Moody accepted me. I was released from prison in July of 2001, and I started the very next month. I'm teaching now back at Moody in the Bible department, so I tell people I went from prisoner to professor. Only God can do that.
What power God has in His Word. Well, let me tell you some ways that you can be a part of the Gideon ministry. Out in the foyer, there is a Gideon card display. And when you use these cards in memory and thinking of you in recognition, you're sending a beautiful card to someone with a great message and donating Bibles in their name. And at the same time, you're sending copies of God's Word around the world, and it's so precious. You may want to be involved in this worldwide ministry. If so, please see me after the service. Another way that you can be involved in the Gideon ministry, in the bulletin that you have from the Gideons on the very back, there's under share. You can become a friend of the Gideons. Anyone can become a friend of the Gideons. And you will receive updates and know what's going on in the Gideon ministry. Today you will have the opportunity, as you leave, to give an offering to the Gideon ministry. I want you to know that the real heroes are not the Gideons. We have the privilege of distributing God's word. The real heroes are you, the Christian people in the churches. Without you, we could not have done over 2 billion copies of God's word. You provide the funds for those Bibles. Today, if you choose to give an offering when you leave, 100% of that offering goes directly for the purchase and placement of God's word somewhere around in 200 countries. If you want to write a check, you can write a check to the Gideons International. I want to thank you, Pastor Ted, for the opportunity to come and speak before your church. And I thank you for the opportunity and for what you do for the Gideon ministry.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you, Dick. Amen. 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 We do appreciate the Gideons and their ministry, and we're not going to embarrass anyone, but I remember as an 8-year-old walking home from Merrill Road Elementary School, and there was this strange-looking man on the sidewalk, and he handed me a Gideon New Testament. And I remember getting that. I said, oh, I was going to church and going to, and I knew Jesus as my Savior recently. I had accepted him as my Savior, so I thought it was the coolest thing to have this little New Testament, and I call them derringers, because it's the Word of God, it's the sword of the Spirit. You can hide it in your pocket, pull it out anytime, and use it. Now, today, if you're not aware, they have an app. The Gideons even have an app. It's free, and it has all different kinds of translations on and available, and so we praise the Lord for the Gideon ministry. It is interesting how God weaves the Word together. And what you heard that former prisoner, now professor, share, I'd like to encourage you to turn there with me in God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you have your Bibles this morning, or if they're on your smartphone or tablet, we invite you to turn there. If you forgot one, there should be one close by in a pew nearby. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at real quick verses 10 through 17, 10 through 17 of 2 Timothy. This is the Apostle Paul's beloved disciple, son in the faith, who he wrote two letters that we know of, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and this is what he shared in chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Pray with me. Father, as we now look into your word, we come and we ask that you will just captivate our thoughts and our spiritual ears, that we will hear from your Holy Spirit what you would have for us. So, Lord, I pray that you will just enlighten our minds, draw us to you. May we hear your voice speak and then respond in faith and obedience. This we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. If there was one phrase I would share with you this morning, I believe that this passage encompasses this, the importance of Scripture. The importance of Scripture is God's Word, and it is to impact every believer in such a way that they will be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, revealing Christ in and through their life continually. 24/7. I believe that is the Spirit-filled life. That is a person who has come to Jesus Christ by faith, and they're growing in their relationship with the Lord. And as they grow, they are spending time in God's Word, and they are able to hear and cultivate that listening ear. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me." So as we come as children of God to say, "Lord, I need to hear from you. I'm going to open up the Scriptures. I need to hear from you." We need to get in that place, whether it's the position or the posture, but we need to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our lives and to hear him speak to us as we read his word. And oftentimes I come to Scripture and I will read a passage of Scripture, and lo and behold, when I've prayed that prayer, guess what God does? Boom! A couple of words jump out at me, or a phrase jumps out at me. Boom! I may have heard it again, or I may have read it before and never saw it. And then suddenly something new comes. Boom! There it is. It's great stuff. God's Word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Right? It divides. It goes down deep within our heart and our soul, the Word of God. And God wants us to be students of his word. He wants us to know his word. He wants us to memorize his word. He wants us to apply it in our lives, to saturate it in our lives, in our thinking, in our actions, so that when we are squeezed by the world, what comes out? Blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank? No. What comes out? The word of God. The word of God. And so as I look in this passage, I notice that Paul was telling Timothy, "Timothy, I want to share with you something." Verse 17 kind of sums up those seven verses. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, that the person of God, woman, man, child, can be equipped, fully mature in Jesus. Fully equipped in the presence of God. How does that happen? It happens through the Holy Spirit working in your life. It happens by, as Paul begins to point out, through God's Word being saturated, revealed, lived in your life. So I see here, first of all, Paul is saying, "Hey, Timothy, there is an example for you to follow." Verses 10 and 11. An example, "I have laid it out before you what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You, however, have followed my teaching, Timothy. You've known what I've taught. You've followed my conduct. You've known my actions. You've seen me. You've seen my aim in life. You've seen my faith, my patience. You've seen my love, my steadfastness. You've even seen my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me." And if we had time, we could go to the book of Acts. But on your own time, go to the book of Acts and study what happened to Paul when he was in Antioch and Iconium and in Lystra, when he was persecuted, which persecutions I endured. And then notice what Paul says, "Yet from them all the Lord rescued me." The Apostle Paul says, I was the chief of sinners. I persecuted believers in Christ. Yet when I was persecuted, the Lord rescued me. What are you going through that's so difficult that you think God will not hear your prayer, or God will not rescue you, or God will not deliver you? He delivered the Apostle Paul. He will deliver you. That's a promise. And he exclaims it and he says, Timothy, listen, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I do know this, that as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and follow him and give out the word of God and teach others the word of God, the Lord God will be with you through the persecutions and will rescue you, just as the Lord has rescued me. This is my example for you to follow. A little bit later on, he told other believers, he says, be imitators of me. Wow. Be imitators of me. Have you ever gone around and say, I want my kids to be just like me? Usually when we grow up, what do we say? I don't want my kids to be like me. Or as we're growing up, I don't want to be like my mom and dad. I'm going to do everything I can not to be like them. And then you know what I discover as I'm getting older? Oh, you know, don't you? Absolutely. I am more and more like them. How did that happen? Where did my coffee cup go? Oh, it's there with coffee in it. When did I drink that? I don't remember, but I have several coffee cups around just like my mother did. We do. We come that way. But now Paul, he said to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to be just like me. I want you to imitate me. I want you to see and just implied in your life all of my teaching, all of my conduct, all of my aim, my purpose in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Even learn from my persecutions and sufferings and know that the Lord will be with you through them all and will rescue you. Verse 11. Wow, that's quite an example to follow. But then I see, secondly, there was a price to pay. Paul was saying, to be a follower of Jesus, there is a price to pay. And that's verses 12 and 13. He says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will win the lottery. Did it say that? No, it says what? Will be persecuted. Ooh. Can I be honest with you? I don't like that. Do you like that? I don't want to be persecuted. But Paul had this uncanny relationship with God. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He knew that this world was not his home. He knew this world was not his eternal destination. He often said to the believers, he wrote it, he said, well, to stay here, what is better? I long to be with the Lord. I'd rather be with him in glory than to stay here. But to stay here, God wants me to stay here for your benefit so you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for that, I will remain. He struggled with that. He longed to be with the Lord, but he knew that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Verse 13, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Lord Jesus in his wisdom compared believers to sheep. If you know anything about sheep, you know that they are not the most intelligent creatures in the world. They get lost. They're easily distracted. They like to stay in ruts. In fact, if they find a big rut, they'll lay down in that rut, and because of their sheep and their wool, they'll fall back on their back, and they'll be so fat and heavy they can't get up on themselves, and their legs are just waving frantically for someone to come along. And if we don't have a shepherd that will come along and pick us up and turn us over and put us on the right path, we will be lost forever. Some come along and distract us by saying things that seem too good to be true. We're easily deceived. We're easily distracted. There are evil people and imposters. There are those who run around in sheep's clothing, but underneath they are wolves. How will you be able to discern between who is truly of God, of Christ, a brother and sister in the Lord, and those who are just using the church? It's by getting in the Word of God, by listening to the Holy Spirit speak to you. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, there's going to be some who are going to come along and challenge you, try to deceive you, try to do harm to you, and all those who desire to live a Christ-like life will be persecuted. But listen, you got to remember that the Lord rescued me from every persecution that I went through, and He will be with you. And then he gives in verses 14 and 15 an exhortation. He says to continue. I want you to grow and thrive in your walk with God. Notice what he says there. But as for you, Timothy, for as you, don't worry about me, but for or the church or those deceived, but as for you, I want you to continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. So what you've been taught, what you've received, even as a child from your grandmother and your mother and their godly Christ-like example, he says that in verse 15, how you've learned it and you knew it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writing which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy, I want you to continue in that, to be built up in that, what you've learned, what you firmly believe, knowing whom you have learned it, and then apply it to your life and live it out, knowing that the Word of God will not return void, not return empty. As the God's Word is proclaimed, God will accomplish what He has designed for it to accomplish. Then what are we to do? We're to pray, Lord, as the Word goes out, as the seed is planted, oh, may it fall among soil that produces 30, 60, 100 fold. And the seed that falls among the thorns, and as the thorns come up and choke out the word, Lord, remove those weeds, remove those thorns, so that the word of God may go deep into the heart of those who hear it and produce an eternal fruit. And so he says, Timothy, I want you to continue what you know and be faithful. And then he says there's a goal to attain. Verses 16 and 17, man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How does that happen in verse 17? Well, 16, all scripture is God-breathed. It is breathed out by God. As originally as God designed it, he put it in the hearts of his servants, of prophets, yes, and of the disciples, and he inspired scripture, and it is God-breathed. He says it is profitable. It is useful. It's valuable. For what? For things. For teaching. We learn, the Holy Spirit opens up our hearts and minds, as John 14, 15, 16 allude to, that the Comforter teaches us and reminds us all things about Jesus. So as we're in the Word, God's Spirit teaches us from the Word, and then we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, becoming more like Him. It's for reproof. No one likes to be told, you messed up. No one likes to have their hand caught in the cookie jar, right? Does any toddler say, hey, look, Mom, I've got my hand in the cookie jar. You're going to come and smack me now. I'm looking forward to that. No. For reproof, the Word of God comes, and as God gently comes, and He comes into a person's heart and mind, and He says, you know, He puts a check maybe there. He may not say anything. He puts a check saying, hey, what you doing? You know, you're going the wrong way. You're thinking the wrong thought. You're acting in the wrong way. You're doing something you shouldn't do. And then in that moment, we as children of the Most High, if God has put that little check in our spirit, we need to listen to Him. And we need to flee from temptation. We need to flee from sin. We need to flee from wicked thoughts. We need to run from them. And we need to run toward God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Flee the devil and he will flee, James tells us. Reproof. The word of God is given to us for correcting. Oh, we like that. The word of God is good for correcting. But we don't like to be corrected. We like to use it to correct other people. Well, you know what the word of God says? You should submit. Don't say anything about me submitting. When the word says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, one to another. We need to let the word of God speak to us first. And Jesus had it right when he approached the Pharisees. He says, you guys, you really got the log in your own eye as you're trying to deal with everybody else's little splinter. We're so much like that in our humanness. We go around and we say all the wrong things about everybody else, but we don't let God work in us first. And his word is poured out upon us to work in our hearts first. To do that cultivating, sanctifying, holy work that only his Holy Spirit can do. To produce in us the fruit of righteousness. To produce in us that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. To produce in us that forgiving spirit. To produce in us the love of Christ. God wants to do that first and foremost in your heart. He does it for training in righteousness. That's the fourth area. So that we can be thoroughly equipped to become the man of God, the woman of God, the young person of God, to stand against the devil's schemes, to have that shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, to extinguish the fiery darts of the evil ones with the word of God. So what does that mean for us? So grateful for the ministry of the Gideons. They're giving out the word of God and they're praying as that word goes forth. Lord, use that New Testament. Use that Bible in those motel rooms, in that prison. Use that word to accomplish your will for your glory, for your honor, that you will rescue souls from hell. So what does it mean for us? What does it mean for you and me? Is God's word valuable to you? Is it valuable to you enough for you to read it? Not just, oh yeah, Pastor, I got a Bible, see over there. Oh, let me get the dust off of it. Is it valuable for you to read it, to meditate on it, to share his word with others? You know, when I find something I like to eat, I usually talk about it. I just can't help it. The latest little, what Pastor Ted likes to eat, is I've rediscovered red velvet cake. It's not a diet food, I know. But my wife makes a cream cheese icing on it, and oh, is it good? It's so good. It's so good that I don't even want to share it, but I will share it if I have some. God's word, oh, is so good. It's so good. And sometimes we get in that frame of mind that I don't want to share it. But oh, I want to share it because I want you to know how good and perfect his word is. You know how good his word is? His word is so good that when you're facing the lowest of lows, his word can come and help bring the light to your soul to pick you up, to make you whole, to give you hope and a sense of hopelessness. His word can give you a promise that when everybody else says, no, 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 his word says yes. His word can give you the assurance that when you're facing a battle that you think no one else understands or can empathize with you, and you're all alone, maybe like Daniel in the lion's den, His word will give you that promise that you will know that God is with you and will never leave you. Hey, Timothy, the Lord has rescued me from persecution. And he will rescue you. He'll be with you in the midst of the hard trials. It's worth studying, learning, sharing with others. Do I follow Christ-like examples of the faith? Am I able to go around to others and say, hey, imitate me? Who's my Paul? Who's my Timothy? What work is God's word having in your life currently? What is he teaching you? What is he rebuking you? Oh, listen to him and turn to him. What is he correcting you? Allow him to correct and train you. Where are you in your walk with God? Are you just beginning? Are you stumbling? Are you lost? Are you running away? Are you sprinting ahead? Are you jogging? Are you forgetful? Are you growing? Are you becoming mature? Am I striving to be complete in Jesus, thoroughly equipped for every good work? I do that by coming to his word. Because his word for a child of God is so vitally important. Vitally important. It is necessary. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for the Gideons and their ministry. I thank you for, Lord, how you have used them mightily over the years. And they do it because they love you. They do it because they recognize the importance of your Holy Scripture. It is not that they do it to replace the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. It is to do what you've commanded them to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, teaching them to observe whatever you've commanded, what Jesus commanded, knowing that he is with them always. And Lord, we your children, we the sheep of your pasture, those of us who have put our faith and trust in you as Lord and Savior, how desperately we need you to speak to us from your word that we may hide it in our hearts, that we may not sin against you. Forgive us of those times we have. And give us the strength to move forward, to walk with you in such a way, even from this moment on, to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to make the Word of God a priority in my life. Help me to study and meditate upon it every day that I may reflect your likeness. That I may, Lord, be like Jesus. Can you do that for me? Lord Jesus will definitely do that for you. So, Father, I pray that you will give us, your people, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, claiming the promise that those of us who have that hunger and thirst, we shall be filled. This we ask in Jesus' wonderful, glorious, the living word. In his name we pray. Amen.